for that. So, but yeah, that's a good one, you know, because it can get it up to $500 pretty fast, especially the larger group, you know, putting in a few hours and stuff like that. Yeah.
And trust me, that I filled out a test sheet. I didn't bring it with me. I don't know why. Where did it went? Mm-hmm. But I did this month's allocation of my time, and I wound up with 27 and a half hours. Well, that's...
That'd be $54.
That's $55. That's quite a bit for just 1 month.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And of course, you know, I'm a leader. Of course, I'm going to be putting in more time put to the organization, more time to the city council and planning commission. But still, all those times that you're out serving your community all counts.
Sure.
And it's like free money.
Yeah.
Well, I have to go get a First Federal account. Yeah. Challenge you. I'm on my volunteer time's pretty hot now.
Yeah. And I know several people, and that's what I did. I just went over, I got a refund check for something, opened up an account, and it proved to be beneficial in a couple other ways, because I worked with the AMMO Downtown Association. We got a bunch of scrap metal out of Public Works, and so when I took it in, I got about $700. Well, of course, the scrap metal folks wrote the check out to me. Well, the Wyan Downtown Association is also a member of First Federal, but they wouldn't take a third-party check. I couldn't sign it over to the Downtown Association to deposit it, so I had to deposit it in my account, and we transferred the money over to their mm-hmm. account.
Yeah. I find that so silly. If anyone wants to put money in my account, they are welcome.
I've always said times. That. You like. Know? Dude, if somebody wants to pay my bill or put money in my account, just freaking let them. I don't care.
Well, I did that with our money we got for the YCARE, Amateur Radio Emergency Services, and took it in there to deposit the account. And, well, you're not on the account. I don't know if we can do that or not. And, you know,
yeah.
They finally acquiesced and went ahead and did it. But,
so Jay's going to be Wyman's liaison to you. And he's going to be knocking at your door
okay.
for yep. issues that we might need funding for.
Okay.
And, I don't know how you sound pretty liberal. I like it.
Yeah, you want to, you know, you want to host an event. You want to print some stuff.
Exactly.
You need some signage.
Yep.
Just. Yeah.
Now, it's going to take a few other people, because I'm pretty well committed, just going to have to do some of this
okay.
process, organizing and thinking.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm. Well, I got three other members that mm-hmm. are willing to do it. So.
Yeah. When you have an event date, like when you want to start your trainings, mm-hmm. let me know, and I'll find a caterer yep. for you, and or you if you have one that you love here that can do it. Right, whatever you need.
Good deal, yes.
And who's with... The good point of contact with RDI. You know, we work with Mary Bosch.
Well, Mary's not there anymore.
Oh, okay.
No, so it depends on what you want to do, because oh, they have a whole that like what exactly you want to do with RDI.
Okay, well, similar to what we did with the Amhill Downtown Association, which, you know, she came in and she did the coordination of a lot of things that you're talking mm-hmm. about doing, because the only involvement that the Ford Foundation had in that was
we paid rent. Her, yeah.
And then we contracted yeah. with them for her services. But it sounds like you also provide some of the
I do the same thing okay. in the communities. Okay. Yeah, I don't have her work is more their work is more economic development.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I hadn't mentioned that has come to light that maybe you might be able to help us with is we're looking to have a citywide meeting. And you might have an agenda of, say, 5 items. And we are going to invite the whole city.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have it either at the school, the fire hall, or because there may mm-hmm. be a serious amount of people coming. But those items on our list are going to be community-oriented, one of which is also going to be the neighborhood watch. Mm-hmm. The other issue, one of the other issues is going to be the city's response to the 57 homes and how they just overruled the planning commission and just
decided. Yeah, that's not something I could get involved in, because that falls into more of a political, I could do Neighborhood Watch, I could do a lot of things, but when it starts to get political, that's when
I see.
And yeah. That's on our side too, is we had a couple members that were for the houses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you guys are not, which is, I mean, you know how I voted, but so our members do not want any politics at all. So if we were going to do that, we would prefer that it be individual, something from you for us, but not in conjunction with a political agenda.
Yeah, I can't do anything like that.
We have no problem excluding that.
Cool.
But there's the other issues in which community-wide need to be discussed, and we haven't decided on a date or a theme or a theater yet because the people that we have talked to, and I don't mind naming names because I'm sure they won't care, but Chief Brian Jensen, our fire chief, basically gave me about six reasons why they couldn't have a citywide meeting.
Why they couldn't?
Could not. Because we would have to meet some other obligations. He started spouting off a bunch of rules and regulations and stuff that we would have to adhere to, and I go, But anyway, so I kind of just let it.
With city with a big C, like government city, or
no.
City with a small C, like the city?
Like the city.
Like the
small city.
Yeah. Small, like.
The only thing I could think of that would be concerned to him on that would be capacities of your.
Of spaces, you
know?
Yeah.
No, he started.
Beyond that, I mean.
He started talking about having to use Robert's rules in the meeting, had to post an.
Oh, see, he's thinking big C.
He's thinking big C.
You're not like a town hall, right?
Yeah,
where,
right.
And even then, you still, if it's not, you know, yeah, you don't.
I mean, the only thing that you could run into even with that, as far as I'm concerned, would just be things like if you had city council showed up, if you have a quorum, that would be a problem.
Right. But if they hosted it, they could all show up as long as they weren't speaking as a council.
Yeah.
You can all be in the same room. And we've been in the same room together with all your council and my council.
Yeah.
We're just...
As long as you don't huddle together.
And talk about city business.
We were going to invite any council member that wants to show up. We were going to invite any planning commissioner that wants to show up, any water advisory committee that wants to show up, any fire department people that want to show up.
I get what he's talking about, like, if you start talking about things that are quasi-judicial, then any one of those people would have to, at least at their meeting when they talked about it again, at least, it, you know, say they were there and what they learned from there. That's the only thing I could think of that would be...
Yeah. Well, he spouted off a whole bunch of stuff, which I didn't understand.
Yeah.
He was just going way too
That, again,
detail.
Has nothing to do with you. Like she said, I mean, if you brought up something that involved, you know, planning, I would either leave in order to, you know, preserve my ability to, you know, conduct business at the commission.
Or just declare it.
Or I have to disclose it. Or at the worst case, if I spoke on it, maybe even refuse myself on a vote or something if that were to be
But anyway, it was something that the membership of YNA has already discussed and has already said, yes, let's move forward. But we haven't moved forward because we don't know how to move forward. The biggest agenda I've ever put on is a 3,500-person event when I did sound for regional bands. That was in my previous life, and so I know how to set up a musical event like that, and how to counsel the band and run the acts and do the stage stuff, but I haven't the slightest idea how to put together a citywide meeting, you know, and I haven't talked to anybody besides Brian about this.
Well, I'm sure that we've got people in the community that can do that on a regular basis in their businesses. Yeah.
And find it.
Yeah,
that will be the chore.
But that's part of the outreach. Once mm-hmm. you start the Neighborhood Watch outreach, you're also going to pick up a lot of those people, learn about those people that have those mm-hmm. resources and that may be willing to cross over.
Going back to what you how your group didn't want to get involved, you do kind of have to be a little careful when you start mixing Neighborhood Watch, public safety, and then you start adding other things where they might not get, people might not agree. You know, so you might lose people on one thing, but gain other people, and then it gets all messy. So I understand your group, like, no, we're going to focus on this and that's it. Because if we start talking about what we disagree on, we're going to not be successful partners in doing, you know, oh, now I found out my neighbor likes AC/DC and I like country, and now we're going to hate each other and we're not going to tell each other that your garage door needs to be closed.
That's exactly in one of the slides, mm-hmm. the early presentation slides, mm-hmm. where conflict resolution.
Yep.
And that's what it's exactly called, mm-hmm. conflict resolution.
Yep.
Because there will be times where people won't agree.
Not even
in their own organization, they won't agree.
Yes.
We have lots of YNA meetings where our membership does not agree mm-hmm. with the other side of the membership.
Yes.
But nobody gets...
What's your mission?
Nobody gets over the top.
Right.
You see what he's saying?
Yeah.
Everybody agrees to disagree.
Yes. You know?
So
well, that's good.
Where we're coming from, we appreciate your help with it, and we appreciate your help with it, and if anything we can do to help, we will.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But as far as the group itself goes, you'll be getting a thank you card.
Well,
thank you for the signs. We'll put them up.
Yeah. You send money with the card, that's all.
Sure. Yeah. And I think some of it will. I think that would happen. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, honestly, we are going to have a petty cap... The complete wrong way to do everything, I get it.
Well,
we will have a petty cash that comes out of my wallet, Marty's wallet, a few other people's, and nobody's writing any of that down. We're not writing it off. Mm-hmm. It's just if we need a bag of pens, we're going to go buy one.
Yeah. And but again, if you have like the distilleries or the breweries that would like to get involved and support us, you know, support the effort. In other words, if they want to write a check and get a IRS write-off, tax write-off, then they can send it to YNA marked for Neighborhood Watch.
Yeah,
and then they'll get a receipt back.
What you want it to go for, you know, but that's always acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, good deal.
Yep, I'd be glad to help with whatever you need.
Okay.
All right.
I know.
You are the person.
I'm the person. That's my job. I mean, how can it?
And you were here on Memorial Day, too. What, you don't have a wife?
Well, let's see. I actually had another meeting at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then I went to the service as a counselor, though.
Yeah.
The ceremony. And then I went to, then I'm here. Fortunately, my husband is also a workaholic. So he went to work at 6 o'clock this morning to count inventory because they didn't have time. So, and now he's off playing golf with his boss and coworkers.
And we just got back from 5 days up at the Grand Ronde Campground, which is called Big Buck Campground. And it's run by the tribe of Grand Ronde, and it's about 7.5 miles north of the town of Grand Ronde, up into the hills, and it is so woodsy, and they have 2 RV campsites and 13 tent sites, but the 13 tent sites are as big as the RV sites. They're just on the side of a hill. So you can take your Class C motorhome and pull up there and take any tent sites you want. But you're allowed 20 days of camping in a year's period of free, non-paid fees to use their campsite. They have a picnic table and a fire ring.
Wow.
And the only thing they don't have is electricity, and they don't have any sewer hookups, and water. But we went self-contained, and we had a wonderful time. And every day we're sitting around our campfire going, wow, look at all the cars going by. There wasn't a single solitary car. I think there was four cars in 5 days we were there. And so it was so nice to camp without having to have your neighbor right next to you, you know. And we always do it before holiday, not during the holiday.
Not during the holiday. I don't do anything. People, well, we're going away for spring break. I'm like, hey, you have a good time.
Yes, yes.
When is spring break? So I don't schedule my vacation then.
Which is spring break when it's not spring break.
Exactly.
You tell the kids at 11 and 7, which they don't realize, like if you don't have your grades up and all your work's in, we're not going to go.
Oh,
well, we're going to go. It's paid for, but so every year that's worked out so far.
Yeah.
That's a good way of getting participation.
Okay. You let me know what you need.
Okay.
And thank you. It's nice to see you again.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Yes.
And I do have to run because I'm on to my next thing.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Shane. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Let me know what you need, and I will.
Okay.
And I will.
Say hi to your wife. Hope she gets better.
Do it.
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah. Thank you. I will. Absolutely.
Okay.
I will do it, even if it means I got to find the things.
I really hope we can come up with a core of good people who are really,
it's all it takes,
willing to, you know, spend the time, the effort, and take the initiative. And
you know, if you get a core group of people who want to do planning, I can come back and we'll sit down, we'll go have lunch or something, and we'll do a planning on what's next, and then what's next. If you get your planning group together and watch them grow.
I'm so glad that you like what YNA has, even in its short existence. We got our 501c3 last month on the 4th, and it only took 3 weeks.
Wow.
That blows me away.
You actually got your it came in the mail, the nonprofit.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
It's still going to take a while for it to show up in the systems, we're finding.
Well, it is in the IRS system.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we have one that we can't, it's been around for a while and the areas still aren't there.
I know a couple others have been involved with, and it took them months and months and, you know, application. Well, they were already organizations, so they were repurposing. But applications got lost and they had to resubmit.
Is it during COVID? That was like a nightmare.
But the hardest part was to get our.
You did the registration with the Secretary of State.
Yeah, well,
and
that
then
was.
You had to do that.
Then I did the nonprofit through the
DOJ.
IRS.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do the 501c3 through the IRS. That cost us $265. It almost completely depleted our budget. But anyway, but the Oregon Department of Justice was the issue for us because they didn't like our I can't even remember what it's called.
Your bylaws and your constitution.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because the bylaws that we first initiated didn't have members involved in the bylaws. And obviously that went way over my head, and so we had to submit 3 different sets of bylaws to get it right so that DOJ would accept it as a match to our state registration and our 501c3. So that took a while. But the other day I get the document from the DOJ about this handbook. And what to do and what not to do, and I read through it, and it's basically everything that I had previously read in another form. They were very helpful to tell me, sorry, you need to resubmit your bylaws again.
Yeah.
But she was.
They're usually very kind.
Wendy was very kind, she just kept saying, sorry, you got to find some other bylaws. And so every time we did, we
and to go through the bylaw issue again and make sure all the people agreed on it and everything. So, yeah. But we finally got it and got it resolved. And so,
I'm working with someone else who's just going through that whole process right now in Newburgh, kind of to create the more of an umbrella organization for smaller projects.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Austins want to give money, but they have people coming to them with all these great projects, but they're not a nonprofit. They don't have someone to go through. They don't have a fiscal sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And then an organization I've been working with is not a nonprofit. They were just a community group spending their own money.
My wife used to work for the Austins, so she's very familiar with their. They do things right.
They do things right.
And they expect it to be done right. You know?
They're excited. Their foundation's excited that this other group is taking that position, so they can start funding those small, cute projects that they want to do. It's been interesting. It's a great life, right?
Yeah.
How can I complain? Even if I work on Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you picked this day because
I didn't. Well, I didn't pick the day. They said, "Are you available on Monday?"
Well,
and I said, "Sure."
That's what I meant. Your availability was everything to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you could have said, "Oh no. I'm going to be gone for a week after Memorial Day."
I've been at conferences for 3 weeks, so I'm glad to be back in my communities working. So.
Oh, hope your conferences weren't in Texas.
No. Pendleton, Hermiston, and where else was I? Warrington.
Oh.
So I've been all over.
So you've been.
Easton.
Yeah.
Easton. Yeah. I was in both places.
Oh, well, cool.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Met a lot of good people. It's nice to see you again.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. Gave up on the city thing, though, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I was getting burned out, and I still afterwards put a lot of effort, and I think I upset the mayor very well because she didn't like me getting involved, because I was public works commissioner for about 8 years, and still working with those guys, and there was a lot of friction between admin and public works, and we had a lot of turnover, and admin wouldn't fund, allow them to spend money on projects and stuff like that. But now we've got a city administrator pro tem, and we're looking to hire a new permanent. And hopefully that will clean up the city administration a lot.
Good. We go through that sometimes too.
Yeah. And but it was a long slug to get that done because, we're not a big enough city. We don't need a city administrator. You know, we're doing just fine. No,
are you?
No,
you really? Yeah. If you're losing people because you're, the people that are doing the work.
Yeah.
Reagan said about Russia, trust but verify.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the city council did the trust part, but never verified.
Never verified anything.
Yeah.
The city recorder never put a status report out. I mean, public works did and the police did, but city recorder, I've got nothing to report. Wait a minute, we'd like to hear about it. I've got nothing to report. Well, what happened with this here? We talked about this 6 months ago. What's the status today?
And they kicked the can down the road for over 10 years with the water system and sewer system.
Mm-hmm.
And they continue to kick the can down the road and just let more people build. And that's like...
Well, it's hard not to let people build.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you're thinking about the money, future money.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because right now there's tons of infrastructure money for rural, for water and sewer. Tons of it.
And I think... the city writes its own grants and really needs to use a third-party grant
professional grant writer too,
because they only take a small percentage of the grant in the first place, and they are professionals and know that if they write the grant good enough, they're going to get
they can
paid
for it. Yeah. we're actually talking just this exact topic because we only work in rural. And even the bigger foundations, we don't do that. I help people write grants all the time for us, right? And then once you write a grant for us and get approved, I take it to some other foundation and say, we supported this, you should too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little different for with us, if you work with us. But we have a lot of communities that they don't ever get federal money and they don't ever get state money because they don't have the time because they're buried.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They're putting the fire out that's happening. They don't have that time. Mm-hmm. And then the second is the reporting back.
Yeah.
And the information you need to gather is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Some of it is.
So all of us, all the people I work with who work in these small communities, both the federal government and the state government brought us together and said, why don't they ever apply? Oh, so you really want to know? Because we're going to tell you why they don't apply. And it's not them, it's you. You know, so we're talking about getting, like, building a pool of people who are funded by these big foundations that can help write these grants for cities and smaller communities who need that help, because it's not, the system is made for big guys to win it, right, and never made for the little guy to win it.
We just made a $105,789 COVID grant last year for COVID money. And of course, Biden said this month, or was it last month, that all the little cities that got that COVID money should throw it into policing and police services, and we're going, really?
Throw that money that we gave you, because we haven't done our job before with the policing, you know. You make up for our mistakes.
And we bought water rights. We spent money on, actually, the police came with a lot of great projects, and we ran it through the budget committee, and the budget committee pushed the police out, but we were able to fund their stuff in other ways. So, you know, just, but we're big, and we have 35 sworn officers in our department, so we're pretty big.
Yeah,
that is.
That's really big. And just things like body cam, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Well, that isn't as easy as people just think.
It isn't just the price of the body cam.
It's not.
It's all the uploads.
Uploads, where you're going to store it, who's going to go through it to make sure it's all...
Yeah.
You know, cleaned up, so we had to go through all that. You know, does the DA have the ability to even take that evidence yet? We don't know.
Right.
But we did it, and I think they will have it by that time, because
actually have body cam?
We do, yeah. We just started.
How did you address the issue of reviewing it by the officer before he writes his report?
We allow them to watch the video.
Do you really?
We do allow them to watch the video.
I see.
We wrote the policy. It was reviewed by, I was on the committee. There was like 10 of us on the, 10 citizens, and then the police association, and then the police administration. And we all reviewed it. And if you can write a better report, you're working, you have tunnel vision on what you're looking at, right? So, we did allow it.
And the major factor you allowed it is because of the fact that they can write a better report after seeing the video versus what they remember in their own minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We know people's minds can't remember. We know. I mean, that's science, right?
When my catalytic converter, when I ran the guys off, you know, one of the police officers that showed up from Yamhill and another one showed up from Carlton. But anyway, he's asking me, what did the guy look like? Well, hell, I don't know.
That's not what I was looking for.
You know, all I saw was a half a face dark behind travel trailer. I don't know. All I could tell you was he was white. Yeah. And he goes, well, how could you tell that? And I said, because his face wasn't dark and hidden. He wasn't Mexican.
Yeah.
You know, that I could tell. But other than that, you know,
And he started asking me about his shirt and his pants and his shoes and all that stuff. And I said, you know, hey, sorry, I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, because you were laser focused on one thing. And that's why we...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and it's already been approved by the state. So our policy. I don't think anyone's wearing them yet because we had a supply chain issue. of chargers. And we went with a brand that has the ability to do its own kind of
facial
and cut out block off faces.
Oh, really?
So yeah, we went. Axon was really simple, easy to use.
Because
we were afraid we were going to have to hire 2 new records people just to go through all this. But it pre-marks it. The officers can every time they push it, it sets a mark time, which is recorded at our 911, on our 911 system. So it's easily transferred.
Cool.
We had 2 or 3 people that tested a whole bunch of them and really we needed something simple, right? Because they already have enough to do.
They got enough contraptions on their body. I need a thing that I have to push the button 16 times to get it to work.
So we've asked them to do a job where how do I put it normally? I say they are picking up on their plate today is a 20 years failures of other systems, whether it's the family system, whether it's social services, whether it's education, whether it's any of them. They have all failed.
Right.
And now every time you pick up anything goes wrong, they call the police.
Yeah.
The police show up, then something goes bad. They say it's the police's fault. They don't say, well, how come that kid didn't have this? Or how come that, I was watching a TikTok because that was funny. And it was a 911 call. Parent, right? They go to parents. Parents call the police on their children because they can't handle them.
No, I see. Okay.
So 12-year-old, 14-year-old fighting. The mother calls the police.
Mm-hmm.
Who calls the police on your children?
Yeah.
Like, go to your freaking rooms, you little pain in the asses.
And the cop gets here now. He's in the middle.
And if you, so the 911 operator said, the mom's like, I can't control them. And the 911 operator said, what do you want us to do? Shoot them? Like, what do you want? And she's like, what's your supervisor's name? What's your supervisor's name? Oh, you are supposed to be the supervisor, right? And there's no place, right? There's no someplace else. There's jail when you commit a crime, but if it's a mental illness, if it's children, if it's, you call them to do a job you don't know how to do, but you don't give them the next steps.
Right.
I'm sitting in a county-run, county-funded mental health clinic waiting to talk to their executive director. The phone rings. The receptionist picks it up. The mother I can hear screaming, my daughter says she's going to commit suicide. I need help. Can I get an appointment? Cool as day. We have something in about 6 weeks.
Yes.
And the mother's screaming.
Yeah.
Who else can I call? Well, we don't really know. And I'm like, okay, who are they going to call next?
Yeah.
And then what are the police supposed to do about it?
Yeah.
Wow. Hopefully it's when the child's still alive that they show up, not after, but there's no someplace else and there is no one else and it just drives me crazy.
Well, that's a problem with government. They dismantled the mental health system.
Oh my gosh.
But they didn't put anything in place to pick up.
Nope. You know what they did? They opened the doors, gave them garbage bags of possessions and said, see you later.
Here, your family. Go to your family. Your family will take care of you.
Yeah.
Well,
families burn out a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, that's why they're there to begin with.
Yep.
So you might believe in what Portland was doing with having their street people pick up a lot of the 911 calls that didn't involve the police officer duties,
It's
and that was a good step, but it's a couple years late.
Yeah.
It should have been in place before they defunded and cut the police.
Yep. And that's the other... the same people that were interviewing me over the granting said, what did you think of the defund police and, like, worst campaign ever?
Oh, yeah.
Like, first off, worst language ever, because it's not what they meant, but people did it.
Yeah.
They just took, bye, see you all later.
Yeah.
Nobody else can do your job, so now you have even more people with nobody else doing your job. But going back and working with... It's a 20-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fix all those broken things, and that will reduce the number of police needed in 20 years. And it will reduce juvenile justice. It will reduce suicide. It'll just mental health.
Mm-hmm.
People will make more money. People, everything will be different. But they don't want to. I've been working on that exact plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you find that at-risk mom?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you make sure she's got food and support,
mm-hmm.
and care for her and her children, so her children go to school and they'll be healthy and learning, and schools are prepared to take care of kids? And how do we do CTE,
mm-hmm.
not only college, and how do we make people feel like they belong? And once you get to high school then, and you belong in a community, and you don't have to go to college because you have CTE, you're going to go work welding at somewhere here, or you're going to be a nurse over here, or you're going to do this. How do you get people to understand that if we invested pennies on the dollar, by the way, the research has been done, just the home health thing, home health nurses, just a nurse coming in to help a struggling mother changes the outcome in her family.
Mm-hmm.
She has less kids. Her kids don't end up in the juvenile justice system. She ends up making more money, and so do her kids.
Mm-hmm.
71, I think, return on investment.
Wow.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, just if you take those little things and you add them all up, I've been working with the same scientist who wrote this book called The Nurture Effect, and that's all it's about.
Mm.
It's like, here are the things we can do.
Right.
If you really care about this end, but you know what? It's political, right? Everybody wants to build the addiction center.
Yeah.
Everybody wants their name on, see, I did this.
Yeah.
The ending homeless plan. What a freaking joke that was.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's, you're going to have to work backwards.
Yeah.
So I still, that's what I do on my days off.
Do you have an ordinance against homeless camping?
No. We don't have homeless camping where we can see it, but we don't have an ordinance yet.
Yamhill's about to pass an ordinance.
We're trying to
and
do
I'm
some
really
things.
I'm hoping that they're going to reconsider.
We're trying to do some controlled things, like having churches do car camping, because we've had churches say they want car camping. But we still have people yelling at the council saying, well, not car camping in front of your house. Car camping with garbage, car camping with some
tent out in the middle of the park.
Car camping with access to resources and security. And we know where they all are, so police can check on them. That's how we do our shelters, too.
Yeah.
The police know where they are. They go and they check, and everything's hunky-dory.
Yeah.
But
Yamhill is trying to pass an ordinance where if you are in the city more than 48 hours, then you can be arrested. And a lot of our membership disagrees with that aspect, you know.
It's not very humane.
It's not.
But you need to find a humane way. And I mean, I fight with people. People are angry with this planned car camp thing, controlled. And they say, well, it's cruel. What's the option?
Yeah.
Tell me what the other option is.
Sure.
Well, we'll work together to figure it out. I was on the 10-year ending homeless plan 14 years ago. How'd that work out?
Yeah.
Not very well.
Exactly.
So, you know, we'll
and
talk about it some more.
Tent city to tent city to tent city, but that's not fixing anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's just sweeping them in a corner or pushing them over here or putting them away in a shelf or a drawer so you don't see it that much, you know.
Yep.
That's not fixing anything.
No, it's just hiding it. And then, you know, then you always have, there are people who will be homeless.
And it's by choice, and it's their
choice mm-hmm. as a human being.
And it's always been, right? They were the people riding the railroad, right?
The, exactly.
But is it still mental illness? Yes. Is it high functioning autism maybe? Yes. It's all those things, but there's no one fix, and that's the sad part.
Yep.
And we have to be willing to do 1,000 different things to fix 1,000 different people.
Exactly.
That's how it works. Anyway, well, I will let you get back to your